From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here, saying hello and welcome in the Saviour's name to our Gospel program. I'm glad that you've tuned in, and I hope that you'll continue listening and hear what the Lord has to say to your heart today through His own precious Word. May I encourage our listeners to write. If you've been listening in to the program in recent days or weeks or even months, and you haven't as yet written to tell us, then do drop us a line this week. We look forward to receiving a letter from you. Our preacher today is the Reverend Ian Brown, and here he is.
The word reconciliation seems to be on many lips today. Men the world over are pulling all of their energies and applying all of the pressure they possibly can to promote good relations between former enemies. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. Reconciliations are subject today. Not so much between man and man, although it'll lead to that, but first and foremost, between man and God. Get that one sorted? The vertical reconciliation, if you like, and the horizontal reconciliation between man and man will take care of itself. Good morning. It's Ian Brown with you again, and before we get into the message today, let's listen to a piece of music together. I'm Telling the World About His Love.
In sin I wandered, talents I squandered, I did not keep
my brother
in whom I meet. Then Jesus found me, from sin unbound me.
Now I'm telling the world about His love. I love to sing about our King,
wonderful King,
and to make His praises
glad to ring.
He gave His life on Calvary's tree, that we from sin might be made free.
I'm happy to say,
I am glad to say,
I'm on the right way.
I am on the way
that leads from night
to
perfect day.
Onto perfect day,
it's joy to know,
only I know
His friend above.
That's why I'm telling the world about His love.
Brother,
trusting His word with saints and sages through endless ages, we will tell the whole world about His love.
I love to sing about our King,
wonderful King,
and to make His praises
glad to ring.
He gave His
life
on Calvary's tree, that we from sin might be made free.
I'm happy to say,
I am glad to say,
I'm on the right way.
I am on the way
that leads from
night
to perfect day.
It's joy to know,
only I know
His friend above.
G. Campbell Morgan, former pastor of Westminster Chapel in London, said of Colossians chapter 1, "It's in this great passage that we see Christ in His relation to the whole cosmos. He's its originator, its sustainer, its goal. That we also see Christ in His relation to the chaos. He's its redeemer, its reconciler, and its restorer." It's Christ as the reconciler that I want to discuss today. And to do that, I want to bring the words of Colossians chapter 1, the verses 21 and 22 to your attention. There we read, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." The first point I want to emphasise is simply this. Reconciliation is needed. Reconciliation, what does it mean? It means to reconcile completely. To change from one condition to another so as to remove all warfare and leave no barrier to unity and peace. Is there really a need for man and God to be reconciled? No doubt about it. The necessity for reconciliation is clearly shown in the words, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works." The word alienated, as it's used here, literally means we were made to be strangers. Those to whom Paul spoke would have recognized the full meaning of that word. It was used of those who'd lost their citizenship and were expelled from a country. Because of our sin, God has cut us off from fellowship with himself on earth and from sharing heaven with him throughout all eternity. "Your sins," warned the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 59 in the verse 2, "have separated between you and your God." And when I turn over to the book of the Revelation, chapter 21, the verse 27, I'm told of those who are refused entry to heaven. "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie." Robert Murray McShane, the famous Scottish preacher, said, "I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. Though friends spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree, Jehovah's at Kenyu was nothing to me." Man, because he has alienated himself from God as a result of his sin, needs to be reconciled. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 proceeds to describe the sinner in a second way. Not only is he one who was alienated from God, but he's an enemy of God. "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind." Around the middle of the 8th century, a group of people were deported from Asia Minor to Bulgaria. They became known as the Bogomils, or the Friends of God. These were people who loved the gospel of Jesus Christ, embraced the only way of salvation with joy, suffered unto death for the cause of Christ, just as all true friends of God would. Are you a friend of God? Not everyone is God's friend. "For many walk," said Paul in Philippians 3 and verse 18, "of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." You're either a friend today or you're an enemy. You're either living for or against him. Let me put it this way. God's forever at war with human sin. Naturally, man hasn't got a feel for God's uncompromising attitude to his sin. God's attitude threatens him. So what does man do? One preacher says man is forever at war with the will of God, which forbids his sin, which would interfere with his sin. He answers God's actions with the attitude of rebellion and of persistent enmity. Man hates God because God hates man's sin. Alienated, enemies in your mind. There's a third detail given about the unconverted person in Colossians 1 and verse 21. He's caught up in the pursuit of wicked works. "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works." Now, if you want an in-depth study of the wicked works all sinners engage in, turn to Romans chapter 3. It'll make for some depressing reading, but in the 23rd verse, we have something particularly hard to sidestep. "For all have sinned," we read, "and come short of the glory of God." There are no exceptions. We are alienated, we are enemies, we are workers of evil. There's no doubt that we need reconciliation to Almighty God. And the good news is, our text, Colossians 1, verses 21 and 22, tells us that reconciliation has been provided. "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death." A country postmistress took a grudge against a family in the village, surmising evil where none existed. Because of her neglect of duty, the postmistress was informed that she was going to be deprived of her place, and she'd nowhere to go. The gentleman whom she'd been harbouring evil thoughts about petitioned for her to be retained. being a man of influence, he succeeded. To that postmistress' great surprise and to her considerable embarrassment, she discovered that the man whom she had looked upon as her enemy had actually been her best friend. How like Jesus! At Calvary, God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There at the cross, peace was made between God and man through the blood of Christ's cross. There the price for reconciliation was paid in full in the crimson currents of our great Redeemer's blood. And it's through that completed sacrifice that you may find salvation. Around that cross of Jesus, the repentant sinner can cry out with joy, "My God is reconciled. His pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for his child. I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh and Father, Abba Father cry." I close today with a word on the purpose of reconciliation. We've already looked at the prerequisite of reconciliation. Each one of us, as sinners before a holy God, need to be reconciled to him. We have looked also at the provision of reconciliation. Christ has paid for that reconciliation at Calvary. Now the purpose of reconciliation. Why does God save, redeem, reconcile a man to himself? So that that man can continue in sin without fear of final punishment? Most certainly not. A French officer whose ship was captured by Admiral Nelson walked up to the great admiral on board his flagship and offered his hand. "Your sword first, if you please," demanded Nelson. The sinner must lay down his arms of rebellion in order to be reconciled to God. Our text today in Colossians 1 verses 21 and 22 makes it crystal clear that God reconciles men to himself with the purpose of making them holy. Now, he won't do that overnight, but he'll do it progressively, until in heaven they're granted ultimate perfection and holiness. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. As the famous hymn puts it, "He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood." It's my prayer today that if you haven't yet experienced it, you'll know reconciliation with God, and you'll move forward through life, enjoying the very best that God provides, and look forward to heaven in the future.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.